Ted Hoffman was a New Yorker. He was at an equity trading desk in New York. He was partner in a hedge fund, came down here, worked at a trading desk and in the securities business in Dallas, walked away from it all, and bought an Airstream and put a barber shop in it. Ted Hoffman is the founder and CEO of Fly and joins us right now. Good to have you with us.
David, thanks so much for the opportunity.
You have obviously lost your mind. Why would you walk away from the securities business?
I'm actually having a midlife crisis, if I might be totally honest. Well, that's a good segue, and it's a good story. So
you bought an Airstream.
I did.
And you refinished it, and you put barber chairs in there.
It turned out to be one of the most unique passion projects I've ever been involved with. Yeah, we restored a 1969 Airstream, and we retrofitted it, kind of a modern-day, cool, chic barbershop vibe. And what happened is, fortuitously, that barbershop ended up morphing into basically a men's product line, which is based here in Dallas, Texas.
And that's really where you are right now. Where's the Airstream, by the way?
So I own some property in the Dallas Design District, so it's kind of dry docked down in kind of one of
the... So you're not cutting here anymore.
I'm not a barber. I've never been a barber. I'm not a stylist, but I can't get rid of it. It's kind of my iconic trademark of what Fly has turned into, and I just like to kind of go and sit on it once every couple of weeks.
Probably a savings account, too, if you ever have to...
It's definitely a monetizable kind of opportunity.
So tell me about Fly. How do you start up when you've got all the competition from Old Spice to... Brute to Barbasol, but how do you start a men's product line, grooming line?
Well, most importantly, I was naive to start, right? So through the journey of building out the Airstream, when it was actually in business as a barbershop, we had five permanent spots in and around the Dallas community. And one of those spots happened to be a corporate campus up in Richardson. Many of your listeners will know what it is. I don't need to say it, but it, at the time, was probably still one of the most creative corporate entities here in Dallas. I think they've fallen on hard times because technology has changed their business. With that being said, I was able to connect and spend some time with some of those folks in their spare time, and it kind of led me to ultimately getting into the actual product side of the business. So to answer your question specifically, yeah, it's competitive. But what I've learned is if I take half of 1%, I've built a big company.
So where do you start? What's the...
Yeah, so I started kind of putting my consumer hat on, my personal hat on. I created my first product on something that I thought I could use or I would be a fan of. And it's now morphed into five SKUs. I have five products. And we're at an inflection point, which we'll get to later in the conversation, I'm sure. But I'll be adding another four to the portfolio. So it'll be upwards of 9 to 10 products by the end of 2020.
Well, there's a hair gel or something?
Yeah, so there's a category called pomade, which has been growing 20% year over year. And it's basically a water-based product that is a styling mechanism. So you basically put it in your hands and style your hair the way that you want. I actually brought you samples, so you will be experiencing some Fly yourself in the coming weeks.
I look a little like that new prime minister in the UK, so maybe it'll come in handy.
Sure.
But so where do you start? I mean, you're not a chemist either. You have to come up with these ideas, and then you have to find somebody to manufacture.
Well, I first need to tell your listeners, and you know, the glamorous side of entrepreneurship, there's a difficult side too. It's really hard, and I am blessed that I've had the financial capabilities to survive the last couple of years of going through this process. But I will tell you that what's unique about Dallas specifically is because of Mary Kay's presence in the last 30 plus years, there is a lot of contract manufacturing and laboratories in our backyard. I literally drive 30 minutes and I am at my laboratory / fulfillment center. And it's just a unique setup for sure.
And then how do you market a product?
Yeah, so, I mean, you're asking big questions. What I will tell you is it's about distribution, right? You know, I've been a little bit kind of handicapped in the fact that I've self-funded this entire business myself. I don't have a single financial investor, which has given me the ability to make the decisions on my own and where I want to navigate the business model. But I will tell you that men's grooming is basically the top two or three fastest growing categories in the beauty business. And there's a reason why there's growth, and it's about the millennial man. So basically what I've been doing is I've continued to use my consumer kind of mentality of what I like. Obviously, I have a pretty big network of folks that help me and give me ideas on where I can take the portfolio. But I think it's important to really kind of say why is my product line different than the next? And it honestly comes down to one major factor is my fragrance. My fragrance has turned out to be a total home run. And it was maybe just a fortuitous, lucky, opportunity that even happened, that we came up with that fragrance. My packaging is kind of the gold standard. It's a super premium looking product. Actually, I'm going to just give you one here as we're talking.
Yeah.
And my price points are reasonable. So really what I want to do is I want to capture the millennial man. I want him to be all in on our product.
Well, the millennial man has to smell it, I guess, to catch the fragrance, which rules out internet sales.
He does. Well, interesting enough, if you can catch their eye, they're willing to take a flyer on a new product because it's inexpensive. And here's a great data point for you. I'm getting an 80% reorder rate online. I mean, it's a big number. So basically, I'm saying to myself, if they try it once, they're going to be a buyer.
Are there trade shows? If you start a new hot sauce or something, you can show up at the Piggly Wiggly on Saturdays and get people to sample it. What do you do with this?
So I'm sure our brains work the same way. I'm a pretty good financial steward of capital. So to me, I had to weigh the risk reward of doing a big out-of-pocket commitment to a trade show. And after attending many just as an attendee, not as a booth, I've realized it's really hard to monetize a trade show. I just don't see it unless I'm literally, a 15, 20 product company where I'm meeting buyers from around the world. I know they're going to be there. It just hasn't made sense to me at this point. So really, I've just been kind of a sniper. I've gone out and I've opened up, call it a 50 to 60 wholesale opportunities myself. I'm the sales guy around the U.S. I launched on Amazon in December of 2018. My sales are up 2,000% over that course of that 1 year. So it's starting to work organically, and we can touch on some distribution opportunities, but I landed the largest, one of the largest green retailers in the world as of Q4 2000.
So are you in 50 states right now?
We're selling on Amazon in all 50 states. Yeah. That's kind of a cool metric that I've seen recently. Yeah, we've sold on Amazon to every state in the U.S., which is pretty neat. At one point, Iowa was the only holdout, but my latest numbers show we've had some sales in Iowa.
Okay, so the product line, so you've got pomade, so
yes,
for hair. What else you got?
Yeah, so I have three types of hold hair products. So I've got two pomades, a strong and a medium, and then I've got a light hold, which is kind of a styling cream. You may remember this, the old-fashioned Brill cream from the 50s and 60s. I've kind of formulated the old-school Brill cream with my fragrance, which turns out to be the kind of the difference maker. My shaving cream, I think, is a category killer. I'll put our shaving cream up just about against anybody. We actually, because our fragrance was such a hit, I did a limited run of candles, which I brought one for you today as well. And we connected with the folks down in Houston, a place called Man Ready Mercantile. Travis Weaver is a former Army guy, and he's built probably one of the biggest candle businesses in the state of Texas.
That's okay. And last, FLY, fly away. Why is this fly?
Great question. So back to the barbershop experience, we tried to and it's interesting, this is kind of a current dilemma I have in terms of building out my marketing idea, but Steve McQueen was kind of an iconic person when I was a younger guy.
Yep.
And we wanted to create that barbershop experience where Steve McQueen could feel like he felt comfortable in. The problem is millennial men don't really know who Steve McQueen is anymore, so I have to recalibrate kind of our new kind of our effort on the marketing side. But we wanted to create a concept, an idea that it was cool. Steve McQueen is cool. If you kind of do some Urban Dictionary work, you'll see fly, swag, those types of names. So fly really is the genesis of cool.
So not super fly.
There's a lot of trademark issues. We have to be careful with some of these.
Ted Hoffman is the founder and the CEO of Fly, a men's grooming and apothecary product company. It's good to have you with us.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD. For more of our conversation with Mr. Hoffman, go to krld.com/CEO.